Are there things you wanted to say about the Veilguard?
No, not necessarily. But I think, you know what? What I want to start with is Robin and listeners. Would you like to meet Basil? This is Basil. This is Basil.
It's very good.
This is a stuffed rat that I'm holding up for our audio listeners. For my birthday, our friends and roommates Elliot and Vidya made a game. Where first at the beginning of the night I had to birth this rat. I had to literally tug him by the tail out of a hole in a box in front of the party. So that I really can't express how jarring that first moment and introduction were. But it's a very cute stuffed rat. And then the rest of the night was a Choices Matters game where we were doing choices throughout the events of Basil's life, starting with their gender and then going up through high school and post high school, college. They did wind up getting a tattoo, which Anjali drew on with
sick.
Fabric markers.
That's sick.
They did also get a Prince Albert, so they do have a safety pin stuck in their stuffed crotch. And then partway through the night, it's
insane. It's the world's most wholesome thing, and then you and immediately, then, yeah.
Yeah. And then, because it was vote-based, so everybody put their suggestions in the box, and then we would pull them and then vote between the two.
Sure. And who wrote Prince Albert?
I don't know who wrote Prince Albert. I don't remember. Someone wrote Prince Albert. Someone wrote the tattoo. Okay. And then for that one, Elliot gave a secret third choice, which was both. And the crowd voted for both.
Very good.
And then at a certain point, the choice went from something mundane to sometime after college, Basil would get access to a time machine or a portal to another world. And then people got to choose, like, put in suggestions as to which. And the winner was Time Machine to the Time of the Dinosaurs, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, big stuff. Big moves for Basil.
Yeah.
But he's a new fixture in my life. Basil, very important character in the Dylanverse. Just wanted everybody to be caught up.
Fantastic. That's really great. I didn't know any of that. I knew about Basil's existence. And the king rat is called Pepperoni. Oh, who
what
the
are
fuck
you talking
is
about?
The king rat that we have in the front room.
No, his name starts with an A and I can never remember what it is, but I know it starts with an A.
I have literally talked... I have asked, oh my God, this question so many fuck ass times.
I know.
And I don't
and
think
so
anyone has ever remembered.
But the the gender of Basil is New York Knickerbocker, and that was just so you know, Friday night, which was notably the night before the Knicks took it in five.
Yeah.
So he helped. Basil did do something, I believe. Because in the end, it wound up that, like, Basil wound up coming back to like, because Basil took, like, a weird villain era at some point, trying to, like, gain power.
Yeah.
In an aggressive way, but then reformed themselves and is now trying to, like, make right with the world and create a universe in which... these terrible things never happened, and is back in the present. So, so Basil, I think, did influence the New York Knicks win for sure.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, I'm proud of him. Thank him for me.
Yeah.
Even though, Knicks in six sounds cooler, and it would have been a home game. Knicks in five is, I mean, I guess more prestigious because it's
It's better stats wise. It also is funnier that the only game that they lost is the only one that Trump was in attendance for. Yeah,
that is good, and it's real. I believe that is 100% of the reason. Everyone can just acknowledge that is the only reason why they lost that game.
I mean, it can't. What else could it possibly be?
Yeah, they were cursed by an evil witch. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's good. So. Hi, my name's Dylan, and I've played 3 Mass Effect games.
Hi, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 billion times, but I have not played Mass Effect Andromeda.
Correct.
Welcome to Dorkspawn.
Dorkspawn is a video game book club podcast where Robin, my best friend in the whole world, perfect guy, and I play Choice Matter video games, and we discuss them chapter by chapter like you would in a book club. We have been playing through the game Mass Effect Andromeda now.
And eagle-eyed listeners will know that we're like 3 weeks late.
Sure.
2 weeks late. I'm going to say, this is entirely my fault. I struggled so hard to open this game because I was so outrageously uninterested in everything. Yeah. If this was a game that I was playing casually, I would know. I mean, I didn't pick it up. It was outrageous and it just nothing about it interested me. And then one rainy Wednesday morning, which was last Wednesday, I was like, yeah, I mean, I gotta open it. I'll open it and I'll just play it all day. And then I kind of lost 12 hours to just doing an outrageous amount of shit in this game. I say an outrageous amount of shit. I have 100%ed 2 planets, which is Eos and Vold. I've done absolutely everything that you could possibly do on there, including... Oh, I also had to redo the last mission because apparently it didn't save.
No!
And yeah, and I came under fire a little bit because I got an outrageous case of gun-in-mouth disease when I found out I had to redo this last mission of a game I didn't want to play. That is to say, I do want to say this. Last episode, I was like, yeah, and the Angarans aren't resisting to getting turned by the Ket. And you were like, yes, they are. I want to confirm, no, they are not. They specifically say several times the Angarans were not resisting to getting turned, and that's weird.
Just
a little bit of weird lore stuff. Yeah,
the Angarans that they had that were in the facility, not that were in
yeah,
the,
that were
the,
in the facility the, are not resisting.
Are not
to
resisting.
Turned.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Because that might be an interesting. That is almost
no.
Definitely
I'm sure that'll come
that'll
up for
come
sure.
Up
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find this playthrough? Because I'm enjoying it. I'm not hating it anymore. I'm the world's greatest sniper, and it's very satisfying to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I also had a lot of fun. I did a lot of stuff. I didn't. I haven't 100%ed any one location. Just because there's like so much side quest content that I've done in the last couple of weeks, I kind of picked like a smattering of some of the like more interesting ones to talk about. Mm-hmm. I've gone to like exploring all of the star systems that we have access to. I've done a lot of like the exploration stuff because I like it. It's so pretty when I'm mm-hmm. like when I'm feeling like kind of bored of doing side quests or whatever, I just go and do those little explorations and like watch those visuals. And also I do that now to go to bed at night. I just fly to all the different all the different planets. Get my exploration up. It's good. I have also gotten our first settlement planet to 100% viability. And mm-hmm. my viability overall is now past the halfway mark on like the viability of the system. But I haven't gotten any other planets up that far. So before we dig into hunting the Archon, a couple of other things that I did like along the way that I thought were really interesting. I did the Contagion mission, which is like it's like kind of alongside hunting the Archon, but it's a side quest within hunting the Archon or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we revealed that like, okay, this is like also kind of related to the fact that everybody's upset with you for not waking everybody up a little bit.
Yeah.
In that somebody, a med tech on your ship, has like smuggled a relative in, and to not like get caught, woke them up and like kind of set them free in the world. It's their aunt, I think, or something like that. Anyway, it turns out this aunt had a rare disease from back in our star system.
Uh-huh.
That is terrifying. Very oh my God, what was that fucking game where you play as a disease and you try to kill everybody?
Madagascar is the best place to start.
Yeah, Madagascar is the best starting
Contagion.
Location.
It is Contagion.
Is it not? No, it's not.
I'm going to Google it because I need to know.
You'll figure it out. I know our audience is screaming at me because I'm screaming at me from the inside. I promise. I know I should know what it is, but I played it all the time.
Oh, Plague.inc is what it's called.
Plague Inc. So this woman's got an insane disease that like has no symptoms in or like looks like a cold in the first like couple of days and isn't contagious when it's in that stage.
Oh.
And so it looks really mild, is whatever. And then in the second stage, all you get is like kind of like this like weird paranoia,
right,
and no other symptoms, and in that stage it's crazy contagious, and then and then in the third stage you get violently ill and die. Like
sick.
and it's
sick.
So this woman is running loose and she's hiding because she's not supposed to be here. She's not like, so she's like,
yeah. I imagine she's in the paranoid stage now.
She's
so
not when
hiding
she first
more.
Gets out. When she first gets out, people are like, right. Oh yeah, she had a little bit of a cold, but that's what is it called? Stasis sickness. We, you know, everybody gets that when they come out of the pods, they get, they're a little under the weather. So feels totally normal. So she gets through screening and gets to go ahead right away. So you chase this woman all over. And as you are tracking her down, then you are watching through like notes that she's left and stuff that she is entering stage two, getting paranoid. You're tracking her also with Sam at points as well. And then when you do track her down, she's jumping from planet to planet. She steals a ship and jumps planet to planet.
Oh, my God.
And so you're like, and you're in the middle of this, of hunting the Archon. Like, we still don't necessarily have 100% of faith from the Angarans. Like, we don't. And so, like, from our perspective, we're like trying so hard to like prove that we are here in good faith and that we want to work together and that we want to be allies and blah 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 blah. We've got the oh my God, what are they called? The Rokar situation with the Angarans, which is like a whole other thing, which like there's a lot of people that don't trust you. And then it's like, maybe we might have just released a bioweapon on the entire star system, and that's all going to be for naught. Nothing that we've done will have mattered. They'll all want to kill us. But as you're, when you, right before you do find her, you find evidence that she has come into contact with Angarans and they are immune to this disease. And then we get confirmation of that. And then we find her and we decide to, there's a choice with this one, which is to either basically just kill her to prevent the spread, or to take her to medical and study her condition. Uh-huh. And I did choose to take her and study her condition, which I realize I should have led with this. Another thing that I've been doing is I've been aggressively hunting down the Ryder family secrets quest, which is the memories.
Fascinating. Yep.
So I've been doing those as much as I can. And I've gotten...
They are pretty good.
I think what's happening right now for me is in the last few that I found, it is more where, like, we're watching these videos of from my dad's perspective. My dad has a wife who is, you know, dead wife in a Lifetime movie. Perfect. She's so smart and funny and charming and witty and beautiful and whatever. And two kids who want to follow in his footsteps and idolize the ground he walks on or whatever. Uh-huh. And your father in all of these memories is a cold, emotionless, distant bastard.
Yeah.
He is doing all of this work because he loves his wife. And he's building Sam. He's joining the
Andromeda Initiative.
The Andromeda Initiative. He's doing all of this to have a shot at saving her, but he cannot, like, speak his emotions whatsoever. So for me, alongside finding and uncovering these memories, me, who I've played this character like a cold as this game will let me, which in my head is a lot colder, by the way. Just let me, for the record, she has been a bitch and she has made the coldest choices available to her. But then there's this like thing that's happening where she's uncovering these memories, and I forget exactly what the quote is, but there's a dialogue between her and Sam after she watches one of the memories where she's like, he clearly loved us, like, and he never told us, or something like that. Uh-huh. And Sam like kind of argues that like, well, he was trying to show you like through his things or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I'm romancing Jahl, who I have like done all through his loyalty mission and stuff like that. And this is like this character who just like, hugs you like after every mission and like tells you outright that he has feelings for you, that he sends me letters where he tells me that he just wants to spend every day with me, like through my email, and you know, normal stuff. And so I have this thought that like for her, these couple of memories are a kind of wake up call that like he lived his whole life and then died and he never fucking told anyone that he cared and he didn't prioritize caring about people. And like, it's just like, we gotta try changing. And then I find out through his memories that the Andromeda Initiative has a secret wealthy benefactor that is bankrolling it, that literally no one currently alive knows about, because the woman
Shadowbroker?
I don't know. But the woman who is in all the videos,
yeah,
she's dead, murdered. We go back to her original room. We track her with Sam. She was on the Nexus before everyone else was awake.
Yeah.
And she was being hunted and she left like some audio logs behind. So she has been murdered. Tan doesn't know anything about a benefactor or who that is. But we know there is a benefactor and potentially still is a benefactor, but this is the person that reached out to our dad and invited him to join the initiative.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And had this, like, changing, like, face on camera, like, was just cycling through, like, kind of images of people, like, sure. Like filters, like, looked yeah. like different species, Turian and human and et cetera.
Right.
Yeah. So those are some of the things I did. I also did Jarl's loyalty mission.
Yeah.
Which all has to do with the Rokar. Have you done anything with the Rokar yet?
I've done a little bit with the Rokar. I have it written down here somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've done a little bit with them. I haven't finished anyone's loyalty mission, but I've progressed, I think, everyone's
Me too.
A little bit.
Me too. Jarl's is the only one I've finished, except for Gil's, because Gil's is 2 minutes long.
Sure. Yeah, so I don't think I finished it.
Okay.
I can do that next week, though.
So just like the beginnings of this, basically, is that the Rokar are a group of people within the...
And the Angarans?
Thank you. Sorry, my brain.
Okay.
Within the Angarans, who... I mean, like a lot of the humans we would meet during the original trilogy, they just don't think any of this is a good idea. They think that humans are trouble and they need to keep us out and they need to they have escalated from just a paranoia about that to a we need to eliminate them.
We need to stop them
and stop them in their tracks from ruining our way of life and our cause. But what happens is that we're introduced to them and Axul, their leader, who we meet, like, when we first meet. He's, like, the one that doesn't trust us kind of in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they, once we, like, really learn how this has progressed, then they become, like, kind of another random enemy that we start encountering, like, basically everywhere
Sick.
We go.
Sure.
They're, like, they're starting to shoot at us as well. What's funny about that, though, is that unlike our other enemies, like, we're regularly getting phone calls from Axel, their leader, who's just kind of like, I fucking don't like you. I don't like, he just calls up to be like, he like radios in to be
suck.
Like, I really get out of here. Go
I
back to your
you.
Stupid dying galaxy and get out of mine. Like, it's so funny. And then the beginning of Jarl's loyalty mission is that Jarl's mothers call him and tell him that a couple of his siblings, because we learn earlier that Jarl has a big, big family, but a couple of his siblings have gotten right. down the alt-right pipeline, and they have joined
sure.
The Rokar. And so it is about going on that that kind of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And... then the other thing, the other side thing I wanted to briefly touch on is actually something that happens after hunting the Archon. So I want to hear
sure.
any side content from you before we talk about hunting the Archon.
Okay. On Eos, our fun little desert planet, I found a group of humans who are trying to make their own settlement away from you. And I talked to them and then we ended up establishing a little bit of a trade, because I was told to put down these seismic hammers that would make
yes.
water free flow into
yes,
our zone.
Yes, I did meet these
But
guys,
then
yeah.
they contact you by meeting you and are like, hey, could you not do it? Here's a giant natural gas deposit that would help us. And then we could trade more openly. But if you do the water deposit, then we don't have any water and we're fucked. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I could do that. I don't really mind. Because I'm still a happy-go-lucky guy. Also found what dragons are in this. The Dragon Age Inquisition dragons. The equivalent of the dragons.
We saw those in the beginning of like landing here. I totally forgot.
They're not
we
actual
saw, like,
dragons. They're not actual
well,
dragons. They're the equivalent
we saw sort of
dragons.
Like, Yeah, we saw a sort of like dragon-y looking thing, like the things flying in the sky.
I just mean like how in Dragon Age Inquisition there's one dragon on every map, and that is the like hyper elite zone enemy. And I found what the equivalent is
In
Mass Effect Andromeda, which is these things called the Architects, triggering for me. but they're these giant, oh God, what are they called in this? What's the Reaper equivalent in this?
I don't know.
They're the robots who are everywhere.
Oh,
remnants?
The remnants. Yeah.
Remnants. Yeah. Is this giant, is this giant remnant machine, which are these, like, they have, like, three big tentacles and a big cool mouth. And the boss fight is that you have to blow up one of the legs and then shoot it in the mouth. And then it summons a bunch of remnants. And then you kill all the remnants. And then you shoot its legs. And then you shoot it in the mouth until it dies. The idea is that they're immortal. But every single time you beat one, they go up into space to, like, rebuild. And then when you leave the planet, you can scan them to get, like, a shit ton of resources. I found that. I beat it. It's an easy fight. But I do have it on easy because I did not want to spend time on redoing the last mission, the previous mission. So then I just set my game to easy, and then I was having such a blast. I was like, this is fine. This is fine, actually. I did that with the seismic readings. They're called Advent. That's the group. That's the human group. They are a free nation. I then came across a Ket base that I cleared, because every map has a singular Ket base that you need to do all these little things to be able to get inside
to get to
and then
it.
Clear it out.
Yeah.
And then when you clear it out, you get a bunch of rewards, but then also it's like Ket presence on the planet is like nuked. You just won't find them.
Yes,
in,
I
like,
did that also.
Pop up.
Yeah. It's also, I think, what got me to 100% viability or got
I
me
think
close.
It might be the thing where it's like you have to do it to get it to 100% viability.
I think so. Yeah. Because they are actually like, they have like in this Ket base on that planet, there's like these generators or something like that, and they're like, they're contributing to the fact that you can't terraform
the shield
planet.
Generators?
Yeah.
Fun.
That you
Didn't
take
that.
Down when you're like going
yeah,
in there.
Yeah. I then found word about the Asari Ark, which was neat. And then I went to Vold, talked more about the Asari Ark. It has been affected by something called the Decimation. Or rather, my notes have Asari Ark - the Decimation. And I'm sure I'll be able to decode that later next time I play. I helped. There is this type of animal that is really beloved by Angarans, and humans are hunting it. And as are Ket, so I had to stop that from happening. They're poaching this animal. I did the Vold monolith, which when you do it, it makes Vold so beautiful and pretty. You terraform all of Vold and you turn it from this snowy blizzardy wasteland to like it just like there's northern lights like everywhere. It is so beautiful and stunning to drive around in now, and I love it so much.
That's awesome. I want to do that next. I think that's
genuinely so pretty. And I did a really cool side mission where I was like, I did the Ket base, which had a whole bunch of stuff because it's on top of this mountain. And then you have to find your way into the mountain. And then you have to find codes to like get through the shields. You do all this fighting. And then you find the Ket base is... generates this shield for this drill site, and you're like, we know that Angarans are being kept there, but we don't know why. And also, why is this base powering this shield generator? You go down, and then do you care about spoilers? I'll just tell you what's down there.
You
want me to wait?
You know what? hold. I'm good with what you've said so far. Hold on that, yeah, because I want to do.
It's an interesting little storyline that, like, for a side mission, has cutscenes, and I was like, "Whoa,
oh,
cutscenes in a side mission? Fun!
Wow."
I found. Oh, and then. I did a lot of collection, little collection things. I literally spent so long switching out teams, driving around, getting drop points, switching teams again, making everyone chat with each other.
Yeah.
My favorite pairing.
Oh, yeah. Tell me your favorite pairing.
My favorite pairings, Draken. PB, I think, are cute because they just kind of neg each other the whole time, and I think that's fun. But in, like, a way where they, like, they have a, like, father-daughter style relationship that I think is fun. PB's father is an Elcor.
Yes.
Which we love.
That is apparently why she is the way that she is. Like, I think
she
does
actually, speaking with him.
Yeah.
They have a little back and forth when he's like, oh, you speak way too fast for an Elcor. And then she does, like, a bunch of offendedly surprised, why would you say this? And all this stuff. And I'm like, this is cute. This is fun.
Yeah.
Do I like her? No. Do
no.
I think she's cute? Yeah.
She's cute.
Was that conversation
fun?
Yes, it was. Yeah. I do not like her at all, but that conversation was fun. I have also decided, because I don't like romances in this, I'm flirting with everyone. I'm trying to hit as many romance cutscenes as possible to see what would happen.
What happened? I'm also, we haven't talked about this. I'm so surprised by the amount of side characters you get a romance dialogue option
with. Option four, yeah.
There's a ton of
it is.
Like,
it's kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't taken any of them because I'm a spoken for woman, but you know,
yeah,
but I'm very surprised and curious about it. So I really like that you're doing
fun.
It to find out.
Seeing how many. A thing about this, actually, about side characters, I really like our ship.
I love our ship.
I like that every single person on the ship is, like, important to the story. I think it's really fun because in, obviously, mainline series, that is, it's not true, but it's because you're manning, like, 80 people on a single vessel. So it's harder to have every single person matter. But there are people who are, like, consistent characters and all that, and that is good. But on this, it's like, you have a very small crew and every single person has a storyline on the ship. And I think that's really fun. The pilot, Kello, and the science officer, Suvi, they're best friends and they bring it up in a conversation.
They're
like,
best friends. They love each other.
It's really cute. There's like, you walk to the bridge and both of them are waiting for you. And they're talking about a problem that they're having. But, like, we need you to go solve this problem. But then Keller was like, listen, Suvi's my best friend. So I need this sorted. And Suvi's like, I'm your best friend. Ah. And then they talk about it. I'm like, I actually love these two. What a cute little duo. I like Gil a lot. I think Gil is weirdly important. Like, honestly,
I
think it's odd how important this character is.
I forgot. That's another one I wanted to talk about. Did you get Gil and Kalo's fight?
No. I haven't.
Gil suggests updating the ship to make it better for the atmosphere we're currently in, and and to make it fly better. And Kello loses it, and they have a big blowout fight about it. Like, Kello is
sick.
Like, this is disrespecting
That's cool.
all of the dead scientists that gave their life to make this ship work. Everybody, like, this ship is perfect. Gil is like, it's a beautiful ship. It's just, it needs, like, you're right, it's great. It's wonderful. But like, we gotta, and then it's up to you, of course, to decide. And I'm like, yeah, improve the ship, for God's sake.
That's fun. That's really cool. I like that a lot.
But then afterwards, you have a conversation with Kello about it, and you're able to try to, like, de-escalate. And then And then if you successfully de-escalate Callow from freaking out, Callow then shares the original schematics with Gil so that the job will be easier.
Cute.
I like the team. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I'm sticking with my original point. I think the crew has very little source. I think that they are pretty bland. Like, they're pretty bland just overall, and that is a bummer, because the moments that they're not bland, it's like, wow, we could be so good, gang. This could be so interesting. For some reason, there's something about them that I find fundamentally uninteresting, even when they're doing interesting stuff. Like, things that I like, and I'm like, oh, this is cute. Oh, I like this pair together. Oh, I like these people talk. I actually love the ambient dialogue when driving around planets, a big reason as to why I did it so much. Because a thing which I really like is that you are involved. Like, Ryder also joins in on the conversations and then shoots the shit with everyone.
Yeah, staying stupid ass shit about how...
I know. It really fits my character. I am sorry about it.
No, I'm so happy for you.
But that's the thing is, like, I feel like the game does so much stuff that is good and interesting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is so uninteresting.
Do you know the thought that I had? I had this while playing the last couple weeks. Is that what if everything about Dragon Age 2 was kept the same, but it was an open world game, and all of the content within Dragon Age 2 was spread out within a
like
open
you could,
world
like,
game?
Like, you could, like, walk outside of Kirkwall.
Yeah, or just like that, like, you were just doing endless, like, endless walking around and doing picking up tasks and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so, like, all the things that make Dragon Age 2 good is that there's such tight writing and the storyline is so tight, and, like, going and doing the fights and stuff like that. Yeah, the fights are repetitive, but they're over so quick, and then you are back into the story,
the bit,
like, so fast.
Good. Yeah.
If there was, like, 2 hours between every single moment of, like, of interesting dialogue
that you got.
Like, that's kind of what is happening from my perspective in this game, is that I'm like,
yeah,
this has all the ingredients of a Dragon Age 2, but it's stuck in Dragon Age Inquisition. And it's
and I said this. I mean, we've said this a little, where it's like they've taken all the wrong lessons from Inquisition.
Yeah. Well, let's keep the open world.
I don't know. I just know what it is. They just learn all the wrong lessons.
Yeah.
But there's something there. There's something
there,
also something, like, just missing. When I'm talking to a character, I'm just like, my eyes glaze a little bit. But I was finding, actually, nearer the end of the... of me playing it, of, like, my like play session, I found myself, like, actually not skipping dialogue and just, like, watching people, like, listening to them rather than what I've been doing other times, which is just skipping. I guess I'm just finding them more interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
No, I get it. Okay, one other thing, Gil, I got after I did this, mediated the fight with him, I went back to the Tempest, the Nexus.
Yep.
Wait.
Oh,
which
the Tempest is the ship.
Tempest is our ship. Nexus is the big station.
Yep.
Went back to the Nexus. Sorry. Went back to the Nexus and ran into a guy, random guy, who was like, hey, that engineer, you, Gil, he single? He is looking real good to me. You want to, we used to know each other back in college. You want to?
The only two gay guys you know should
you
date.
You
want
to link me up? And I'm like, I mean, I could tell him, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, he's on my crew. He's like, I'm sorry, never mind. Whatever, never mind. And I was like, okay, all right, bye. I go back to the ship. A day later, I get an email from Gil, and Gil is like, that guy is so fucking annoying. Like, don't It's so funny that he literally is just like, I don't know. Did you say anything to him? Because please don't. He keeps messaging me and I hate this. And I thought that was
That's really fucking charming. That's so
fun. It was really good.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitchertin is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Wadiway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
I will die on the hill that using music and ambience to set the scene is the best way to get your TTRPG players immersed in your game. But a lot of the times, I found it incredibly hard to juggle GMing and switching music in the moment. That was until Pocket Bard came along. Pocket Bard is a free, easy-to-download app that comes with ready-to-use scenes, ambiences, and a beautiful intensity slider. So when the mood changes on the fly, so can you. And now, Pocket Bard has come from your pocket to the PC with the launch of their desktop app. And with free RPG Day around the corner, what a fantastic time to get your group together, no matter where they are, and play some new games with the help of Pocket Bard. Download it today directly from the Pocket Bard website and enjoy prepping less and playing more.
Oh, I do like that.
And then, after that, Gil gave me his personal quest, which was he really wants me to meet his lesbian best friend. And so he just took me down to Planetside and introduced me to her. And she was like, hey, you're doing all right with him. He's like acting like a grown man and stuff and like going to work every day and shit. It's pretty neat. And has like a little like playful relationship, and she's like, all right, bye, and then she leaves, and that's
it. I love it.
And he's like, yeah, so that's my best friend now you've met, and so good. And I was like, okay, good.
That's funny. Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh. Anyway, they're getting to me a little bit. They're like, they're borrowing their way in. Anyway, the main story.
Oh, yes, Hunting the Archon.
We just did Hunting the Archon, which is so fun that we were like, we're going to do just one mission and a bunch of side stuff. This is a fucking long-ass mission. This is a long-ass mission. So if I knew this beforehand, we would have also just done this week. Yeah.
And I realized, too, I realized that it's a thing where it's like, okay, once you unlock and start Hunting the Archon, you also then unlock the other kind of main quests that I think the idea is that we technically could be doing these in piecemeal simultaneously. But for the sake of the show, I think it does make sense to do them one at a time so we can cohesively talk about them.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but basically, the idea with this is that the Moshai tells us that the Archon has a map to Meridian that we should investigate and get.
Because the Meridian is
that's
the center of all these vaults.
Yeah.
It's the thing that's going to let us terraform planets so that everyone can live peacefully and have a beautiful future and life and love.
Yeah. So, I mean, oh my gosh. Oh, so we learn about now that there are, okay, on Kadara, there are, like, Kadara is like this very, like, split planet where there's like a top side and an underside. And there's,
yeah,
like,
this is the pirate outpost, right?
Pirate outpost.
This place is the most Star Wars ass place
Star
that we've ever
place.
Been in Mass Effect. I'm going to tell you this. Fuck with it like crazy.
Yeah, fuck with it like
this
crazy.
This place fucking rules.
Seedy underbelly, kind of like that's where all your cool people are doing drugs and murder.
90% exiles from the original fight on the Nexus came here. Yeah. It's cool. It's a cool, very flavorful place. It's a fun place to walk around in. I truly did nothing on this planet except for what the main mission demanded of me because I was already late. So I did some crazy trick stunts with the vehicle, the Nomad, to get over the mountain to clear this quest.
That's really funny.
I really went fucking insane. But it's cool as shit. This pirate outpost has two major factions, the Collective and the Outcasts.
Yeah.
You meet a spy when you get there, a cool character who reminded me so much of Dorian, just in like his vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like in the character, but like vibe wise, I got a really big Dorian feel from him. He's really cool. We meet him because he is, oh god,
this is Reyes Vidal that
this
you're
is
talking
Reyes.
About
yes
Reyes
yes.
Vidal is is there to tell us about like the voice of, I think, Sloan Kelly, right? Or is he like, or is he just the one that tells us about Sloan Kelly?
He is the one that tells us about her. Sloan was a big part of the uprising on the Nexus.
Yeah.
And another thing, one of the coolest character designs is Sloan.
Sloan
I think
Kelly.
She's so fucking sick.
I like Sloan Kelly a lot. Yeah. I like Sloan Kelly a lot as a character. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Reyes, we meet Reyes at a bar. Reyes,
he gives us access to Sloan. I think he sets up a meeting for us. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go and meet Sloan Kelly. Sloan Kelly is kind of rude to us, but like also kind of accepting.
This is another, oh my god, Mass Effect mainline, the head of Omega.
Yeah.
A head of this whole crime syndicate thing. She's cooler. I'm going to say I think Sloan is cooler than the
I
woman
agree
in Omega.
With you. I agree with you. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then I liked the woman on Omega because she was more cringe. And I think that is a freedom
That's
and
very
a joy. Because when she says, "I am Omega," out of literally nowhere, it's the funniest shit ever.
It's really funny.
I love her having fun. Yeah, she kind of negs you. She doesn't trust you. Obviously, you're part of the Nexus. You have two choices. You can either be truthful with her and tell her
the
actual
reasons
why you're here.
Yeah, or you can tell her it's none of your business. Right, because you're trying to interrogate the prisoner, Vane.
Yes.
Vane.
That's it. That the prisoner knows where the Archon ship is, and he's about to be executed by her.
Right.
So you need to contact
That's
the
what
spy
Reyes
to
Vidal
get
tells
into.
You.
You need to contact him to get to Sloan to
there
then
we go.
Get the information.
We got there.
What did you do? Were you honest with her?
No, I said it's none of your fucking business.
Fascinating. I was honest. Yeah, it's I'm trying, again, my guy's quirky, trying to be kind to everyone. So she immediately is then like, yeah, sure, okay. If you tell the truth. She's like, yeah, sure, yeah, go get him and do whatever you need to do with him. And then I easily walk into the room, free as anything, everyone is friends.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
What happened to you? Yeah. She literally is like, oh, okay, cool, thank you.
No, that's what happened to me when I told her, fuck you, it's none of your business.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm looking at this and it's like, the conversation can go a few ways. You can either tell her that it's none of her business or you can be honest with her. And I was kind of hoping for I tell her the truth and she's like, cool, thank you. And then it's really easy to deal with. But you had to do like a different
no.
thing entirely.
Shem. No, no. I said, fuck off. It's none of your business.
Oh, no, you did. If you said fuck off, then you have to go back and speak with Reyes again.
Yeah, I spoke to Reyes again. Oh, you like
and then
immediately...
he let him in, but I didn't need to. I immediately went to the jail. Like she
oh,
led
like,
me
straight.
There.
Oh, I like kind of just all right. I
you
went
had
and
another thing.
And went...
It's a very minor.
Okay,
change,
it was it was relatively. It was so minor. I didn't even clock it as like a different thing. Like I went and talked
yeah,
to Reyes, and
sure,
then
yeah.
he gave me the, and then we walked in. Okay. So you. All right. No, I get it.
So I skipped the second meeting with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Then turns out that he doesn't know where the Archon ship is. But there is a transponder that he has buried mm-hmm. outside of town. And you can use that to try to, like, figure out the position of the ship.
Right, yes.
You go on a fun little drive. Yeah. Which, again, I had to do a bunch of tricks about because it's a long-ass drive. I'm excited to come back to this planet and then actually do all the missions because I picked up something of, like, there was a murder that I'm, like, trying to solve. I want to know more about the politics of this place. I think this whole zone is, like, is really interesting. And I like it. I think it's pretty as well.
Yes.
Yes. anyway, you pick up the transponder. This is basically just a drive. There's nothing interesting here. You pick up the transponder. You then need to go to Gil. And this is what I found interesting is that Gil is the person who needs to kind of fiddle around with this transponder to try and figure out where the Archon is.
Yes.
Which
yeah.
I liked. And
yes,
I was like, it's
fun like
getting
too.
All these side characters in.
Yeah.
And then you find the Ket flagship. Which is where the Archon is. You fly there, and then when you get there, oopsie daisy, the flagship is tied to another ship, and that other ship is the Solarian Ark.
Yes.
It's one of the Arks. This
yeah.
is where it went missing.
Huge.
Which is really cool, and I really liked this reveal, because it made the Arks... Because then, again,
it's
a big
like,
part of the complaining is, like, why aren't the Arks the main story? And then it's like,
okay good.
This
they
is
are.
What... This,
they, are.
They are the main
Thank
story.
God.
It's
so
roping
happy.
It back in and tying it together.
Yes.
So, the Solarian Ark is here. We then need to sneak in through the Solarian Ark to get to the Archon. On doing a scan, we realize that the Solarian Pathfinder is on there. And then when we land on the ship, we do a little look-see, and then it's like, oh no, the Solarian Pathfinder is dead. This is the dead body. We do a little biometric scan, and it's like, nope, this actually isn't. This is a body swap. So they pretend that the Solarian Pathfinder has died. You find the Solarian Pathfinder in cryosleep. You think still, but then when you get her out, it turns out that she says that that when the Ket went on board, she had to go back into cryosleep to avoid detection, basically.
Yeah.
That's what she did. You tell her about the Meridian relic, and then she wakes up a bunch of other Solarians. They all pick up guns. You do like a two-way split where
We
the Salarians, and you are doing like a pincer attack.
Yeah.
In the flagship to hunt and kill the Archon.
Yeah.
But mainly with the goal to boost the Meridian map, the map of the Meridian, so you can find it. You do, however, as you're running around, you find a bunch of really big guns pointing at the Salarian Ark.
Yes, and they're ready to go off.
They're ready to go off. You then meet the Archon, who is not that interesting of a villain.
No. This
is just kind of a guy.
A little weird. Yeah.
Because
I think, is this the first, am I wrong in that this is kind of the first time he speaks?
No, he's been speaking. He's spoken to us before, but this is our first like face-to-face meeting with him.
Okay. It's just the first time face-to-face. But it just felt like, okay.
It's just kind of mid. It's not, he's just not that thrilling. And then I got a little mad. So cool thing happens. Cool thing number A, you all get trapped by this, like, in these things. The only way to turn off these chains.
Oh, this was so cool. Yeah.
To
this was so
die.
Cool.
You have to die to do it. And Sam is like, I can turn off your heart and then I'll turn it back on again.
But I just want to clarify. Sam says he can stop your heart and then he can resuscitate you. You do not have a mechanical heart that can be turned on and off. He is going to kill you and then give you basically internal compressions and hopefully revive you.
In the hopes that you get
this
back.
Was one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in a video game. to be completely honest with you, I was terrified, but it was very cool. Very cool.
I did. This is one of the moments where the same point hit me of, man, I wish they were doing something a little more interesting with this, because it's really cool. What an interesting little bit. But it kind of happens. Yeah, you're gonna live. You're the protagonist. I didn't find much tension in it. But I was like, man, it would be so cool if Sam did a twist, or something did a twist in the midpoint that you died. For example, Sam turned you off and then kind of refused to wake you back up, and you had to get another way to like get resuscitated, and then it's like, aha, Sam was a villain all along. I know that's kind of trash, but that was kind of what I was thinking was going to happen, because Sam was like, I could kill you and then I might be able to turn you back on. And I was like, ooh, are you going to do like a villain twist in some, because it would be interesting.
We don't
to
even
have
all our memories. We don't even know how you were made. Like, yeah, that could be interesting.
It could be something.
That could be interesting. Something
happening with that. I was expecting a little more. It kind of happened and then left, even though I was like, this is cool. I just wanted a little bit more out of it. But it was cool. I don't want to take that away. I did like it. Then you free everyone. And then it turns out that the Kett are just Reapers. They are like taking bodies. They're taking other races and then Kettifying them to make the perfect Kett. And I'm like, oh, we've done this before.
A Krogan Kett.
And I'm like,
come out and fight you. And I went,
this is less interesting.
Hell.
We've just already done this storyline. It's literally the main point.
Something to do with the Angarans. Like, this was like, that they,
I thought Kett were all Kett were Angarans,
right?
Is what I thought.
I thought this had some sort of like meaning about, like, I don't know. It's just shit out of me.
It was deeply upsetting. There were some things that were interesting in this. Again, this game loves to do it, where the Archon, you can like look at all the different races, and the Archon talks a little bit about them and the biological like benefits of them. But the thing about he says about the Asari is really interesting, because it is the Asari say that they are doing, I can't think of the perfect words for this, exactly what he says. He says something about they're doing like they are doing like something similar to genocide to every single race,
and make and pretending that it is oh my god, we're so kind, we're just seeing in like embracing eternity, which is poetic nonsense in the art. That is the Archon's word, which is poetic nonsense, because an Asari can mate with any other species and the child will always be an Asari regardless of, you know, what the other thing is. And I was like, wow, what an interesting thing to say about the Asari. Are you going to do anything with this? Because that's a fascinating thing to say and not do more
follow
stuff
up
with.
On.
Yeah. Anyway, and then
although
oh, the
it
Krogan
does
would
give like a super twisted view of what anything
of what
is.
The Asari is.
Frankly, what genocide is, because
it's not genocide. Genocide is not the word that he uses, but he uses something like where they are forcefully assimilating every other race to be an Asari. Sound like poetry. But it's a forceful thing. Like no other race has any say in what an Asari is. An Asari will always be an Asari. Which I think is an interesting thing to talk
it
about.
Is.
And then they're like, whoa, the Krogan are so big, tough, strong. They could probably take over the galaxy if they didn't have the Genophage. Let's just make Ket Krogan. They make a Ket Krogan. You have to kill a Krogan.
Yeah.
It's the same storyline that we've had.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
How many games have we had? 4 times now we've had this storyline, and I'm so bored of it. Leave the Krogan alone. We've done the most interesting thing you could do with Krogan, and it was Morden Solus. We can
and it
stop.
Was cure the Genophage.
It was cure the Genophage.
And give a young Krogan a position of leadership under the mentorship of his big brother. That is, to lead them into a new future. We did that. I agree with you. It's like almost interesting. It's kind of interesting in that with that kind of with finding the like room with all the species where you like learn about there. You hear the little like codex entries there. It is like, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is kind of it's not really any different. They're just doing. I don't know. I was going to try to argue that they're doing something different, but and I lost it in the middle because they're not. They're just doing the same thing.
It's literally just the Reapers again.
It's just the Reapers.
And it's crazy because it's like, hey, gang, we've done a really interesting take on this. We should... The amount... And this is what's the worst bit. We have had 2 different ideas of what the Ket is in the 4 episodes we've done of this game. Both of which are so much more interesting than they're just doing the Reapers again. They're like just kind of assimilating stuff and trying to make a perfect species. Rubbish. Them being panicked and we also need resources. The only way to get that is war is interesting. They are all Angaran and have been Angaran this entire time. Love
and
it.
They just have a different... they feel that this is the final evolution in for Angarans, like, and they just want to make it happen faster. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. A million things. But regardless, whatever. We take in the last bits of this game, when you get to the map and you recover the relic, there is a point at some point we have split up with the Solarians. We said that already other.
We've been seeing
the other
them
Pathfinder
several times
has
mission.
Taken her crew and we're trying to like keep tabs on them and make sure they're alive. But then we discover there are like obviously there are a ton of other Krogan bodies on this ship that are about to be turned. They're like in pods, like about to be ketified as well. And so we could separate the ships and just get away with whoever's alive on the ship and whatever. We then find out that like our other Pathfinder, Solarian Pathfinder, is backed into a corner
She's trying to save a bunch of Salarians that are on the ship.
She's gonna possibly beef it. She fails, by the way, to save the other Salarians. She's trying to save them. She fails. She can't do it. The other Salarians die, and she's next. So it's not a question of save a bunch of Salarians or save a bunch of Krogan.
It's the Pathfinder.
It is save
or a bunch
singularly
of
the Pathfinder or save a bunch of Krogans who have yet to be turned into Kett but are about to be. Yeah. So this was a curious question for me, because while I initially had the thought that, like, oh, that's such an easy choice, because it's like a bunch of innocent,
your favorite
civilian cat versus like a leader alone by herself, like already down. Like, I'm not going to go out to save just like another general. But then I thought, like, if this mission happened about, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. For me. In character for Sarah, I would have picked the Pathfinder, because it would have been, well, I need more Pathfinders. I need to finish this mission effectively. Mm-hmm. I need that. Like, what?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
the fuck do I care? But because I have, like, had enough happen to this rider to change her a little bit, it was like oh, that is an easy choice for me now, like it feels easy, but I do think it's actually an interesting decision, because like
I think
saving another Pathfinder actually feels like a huge deal.
And I actually do think that the fact that you can keep finding hints as to where other arcs are, but you'll never find another Pathfinder, is like a frustrating thing. And then you hit this where it's like, oh my god, finally, it's another fucking Pathfinder. We might be able to make some real legwork out of this. The Pathfinder's gonna die unless you go to it, I think is fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this wasn't a choice for me, because I had Drac, and I was like, I'm not gonna save a bunch of Krogans in front of the guy. So I decided I did the Krogans.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Of course. I think that makes sense. It's just like, I feel like we may start making similar decisions more often now. But also curious. So we get out of
there.
We separate the ship. The Salarian ship gets away.
The
Ark gets away, and joins us back at the Nexus. And we had freed a bunch of the Krogan.
The next Pathfinder in line is another fun thing. The next Pathfinder in line at the Salarians was like, I was literally not trained for this. I'm gonna
try, but I have
pretty much no idea what I'm doing. And I'm like, good. Good. Obviously that's going to be the pick, is like, you're just going to have someone who's completely inexperienced. But I like that. And then I was talking to him and I was like, hey, listen, same. I had no plans to be a Pathfinder, and now I am. So
was she your dad?
We might be best friends.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of an interesting closer to this mission where the Archon, we have it with the Archon. Thing about I like about this game, we have a lot of perspective scenes from the Archon, which I think is fun.
True.
The Archon has a scene, but I swear they shouldn't be Reapers. They should just be people, not doing like mustache twirlingly evil stuff, because then that would be more interesting. But the Archon's second in command starts going off on him about the fact that, hey, you fucked up all this stuff, and then is like, our higher ups are not going to be happy with you, mentioning the fact that the Archon is nowhere near the leader of this of the Kett, and is seemingly just like a general in the army, but is this big threat that I love.
That
I think
I
that's
do like,
really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
it would be way cooler if, again, this they had any other motivation other than, again, mustache twirlingly evil, I think it would be cool. Yeah. It would be cool to be like, oh, this is just a guy. Like, we're just like, the threat is bigger than him. But I like that. I like the scenes with them because I'm always a big fan of when media shows us the villain's perspectives. And it's like, oh, they have their own internal politics like we do. And theirs is kind of crumbling because we keep doing stuff. I think always think that's fun. Mm-hmm. I liked the mission overall. Very long mission.
No, I liked
I think
it
it's
too.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I really like Kadara Port. I like the characters that we met. I think the choice is fairly interesting. I think it, I could have used a little more in it, but I think it's fairly interesting.
I could definitely use choices. Also, do you know what I realized is that, and I realized this because during my romance escalation with Jahl, is the first time since the very beginning of the game I got a react, like a quick time react.
Oh, yeah.
They are so few in this game.
They really are. There is to the point where I'm like, we shouldn't have them.
We shouldn't have them. Because then it's like you're not ever anticipating one to happen because they're never happening.
Yeah.
So it's like a, kind of a bit silly.
It's a weird like jingling keys in front of you. Are you paying attention? And it's like, no, nothing's going on. Stop chucking these fucking reacts at me.
I know. The one I got was after you finish Jahl's personal quest, if you're romancing him, he asks to bring you back to meet his mom's.
Cute.
And you go to meet his whole family. And when you meet his mom, you get a quick time react to hug his mom. And I'm like,
big.
That could
miss that. Miss could just, that?
Yeah. That's like, and I'm like, I haven't had one of these since the minute one of this game. Like,
yeah,
I like,
and like the when you meet the first, oh my god, Primarch, and then it's like a kill him as he turns around.
Yeah.
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 In the Kep facility. Yeah, it's basically nothing.
Yeah. So a little annoying, but I'm like, I just want more choices that.
I don't like it being a hug. React. That's, I mean, I don't know. That's
no,
a, it's a little weird. I understand the idea behind it of like, it's an awkward situation. You need to act fast to hug this guy's mom, but I do think that's pretty
it was a
funny.
Planned meeting. Like, it was not like, it's not like she showed up.
She showed up. Yeah.
I don't know. It was just silly, and I'm just sort of like, I feel like they could be using this better, but like, whatever. Ultimately, what, like, not the biggest complaint. Also, just like other random thought is that like spending more time with and doing part of Liam's personal quest, which I have not done all of yet. I just want to say that I'm more and more mad that you can't romance him.
Yeah, it's
he's
annoying.
Literally
it's
perfect for your character, and he's it's crazy. Every single new thing. I am actually like he is probably outside of Jahl. I think my favorite. I love him.
No, I like him a lot. I think he's good. He's one of my more favorite companion characters. Yeah, I do like having him.
Which
around.
I think is really fun because I think actually in the original trilogy, your human companions were your least interesting, which I think is very funny.
Yeah,
like
I actually like having Cora around.
Yeah,
more. I think it's interesting that Cora is slightly racist. She's an Asari. She was
like, raised by the
Asari.
What
it's
what
so crazy
you
that
even
she's
have?
Like lightly racist.
Yeah.
If she was raised by Solarians, I'd be like, yeah, all Solarians are racist. Obviously, you're also going to be racist.
Right.
Kind of growing up there.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
god.
Asari.
Oh my god. You should, if you haven't, go to the Nexus. Go to the Nexus. Yep. If you haven't yet, go visit Jahl in the cultural center.
Cute. Okay.
Because he's hanging out there learning about all the different like races from the soul system.
Yeah.
And like wants to absorb everything and he's making his way through. If you go there enough and you get to where he is now standing by the help me with
Turians, Salarians, Asari, Quarians, humans.
Quarians. Quarians. He gets to the Quarians. He says something that you brought up earlier in us doing this show about this game, about what would have been like about the similarities
them being
and stuff
villains
like that.
And stuff, but
like
or finding
also
a perfect
like
planet that works for them.
Yeah, and like finding kind of the ties between what's going on in this game and them. Jahl has some interesting things to say. I think you'll really like it.
Cool. Okay. I'd like. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Fun.
Yeah.
I do like the Nexus as like a home point. I
Me
like
too.
A place that's like so in turmoil, but it is quote unquote the home base. I think is
yeah.
fun. I like it.
Yeah.
The thing about this game is that there's so much to like, but the problem is that they miss the mark on so much stuff that I'm more angry.
But because it's
I'm
so
not angry.
Close.
I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
Disappointed.
I'm so disappointed in all
so
the
close.
Minor things they mess up. It's
yeah.
just so close.
It's
like,
so
gang,
close.
We, it's all
happening.
Right there. It's
yeah,
you're writing it. And the fact that they're addressing yeah. things and it's like, yeah, this would be interesting. Why aren't we doing that, gang?
Yeah, it's just, it's so close. It's so close and that's what
it really
makes
is.
It hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But
I, know
I will say, I am enjoying it significantly more than I have in previous weeks.
Yeah,
like I had a good time driving around, getting to know the people, doing these little side quests.
Yeah.
And then again, I was thinking the entire time about Inquisition because I was at yours whilst we were playing Inquisition. I would just spend the whole day at home. I would answer emails and do my actual job work. And then I would pick up the PlayStation controller and play like 5 hours of Inquisition whilst you were at work and I was waiting for you to come home.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing where it's like, yeah, I'll run around the hinterlands for a bit. Sure.
Yeah.
I'll do this, what is it, Rift? Do this Rift equivalent, and I'll do this Ket base, and I'll do these little stupid side missions that I don't
exactly.
really care about, just because it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will never do a strike team, though, and you will not catch me doing
I've
it.
I've done so many of them. I thought, for a moment, I misread something on my screen, and I thought that they had expirations. And I was like, oh, that maybe is something interesting. And then I realized that I misread the text because it was on the TV far away from me. And it was just the and it just said expedition time. And I was like, I thought it was like expiration time. And it was like, oh, maybe like there's a limited time in to get these. And you got to strategize about like, which ones you do and which order so that you don't like. No, it's wrong. You just do it. You just hit them and do them and get the points. And I was like, okay, fine. Sure.
Stupid.
So I'm hitting them. Yeah. I'm doing them. I'm getting the points.
Next week. Do you want to do the two planets that you get in the hunting the Archon mission? Or do you want to do a little further than that?
What do you mean?
Because we got two planets,
yeah.
In and it's like go do this or go do this. Oh my god! Oh, there's a little food.
The Eladin and H04C47C.
That's it. The two of them.
The two
because
a new
then
world
Journey to Meridian is the next, and I'm wondering if we do these two week after we do both Journey to Meridian and Meridian the Way Home. Like we just then it's like we. This is our last week before we just close it out and we do.
Okay,
we
the two.
It.
Is it the two or is it a choice? It's do them both.
It's do them both.
Okay, good. I didn't know genuinely. Okay. Cool. So
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that.
Journey to Meridian might actually be a pretty long one actually.
I imagine it is. Here's what we could do. Let's do the two A New Worlds for next week. Let's let Journey to Meridian breathe on its own. And then there's Meridian the Way Home, Epilogue, The World is Waiting. Those are probably all
I will
pretty...
also say the two worlds are like pretty much nothing from what I'm seeing on what
Ooh.
You need to do for those missions. They're pretty small. I imagine it's go to a new world. Here's a new zone you've opened up. Go do
side
however
quests.
Much you want on the side quest. Do you want to do everything
up to Journey, Meridian, and Pass, and then like end at the end of Journey to Meridian, and
for next
then do
week.
Meridian No Way Home the week
Ooh,
after.
Interesting.
Do you want to try
okay.
that?
Yeah, let's try it. But of course, listeners, don't bank on this.
We have not played this game before. It is with a caveat. If it's a if we get sucked in again, because again, I got sucked into like a billion hours of two planets.
I'm also
going to
try to finish everyone's quests and stuff like that.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let's try that though. Let's see if we can do that. If it's like a new world and Journey to Meridian. But we'll update you in the Discord about what we're doing. And that'll be good. All right, good. Yeah, I'm into it.
Sick and twisted. Awesome. Good.
Okay, good.
Well,
you
freaks.
Pieces of shit. You
goddamn
fucking losers. Dirty,
you absolute
filthy
dumb
monsters.
Scum. You're dumb scum.
I can't even look upon you. I can't even bring myself
Actually,
to gaze upon
you. Actually, you make me so sick. It's crazy. Because you dumb idiot, make no mistake, this is a one-way trip.
This is a one-way trip.
Good.
Good.
Good, freaks.